Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, tonight on the show, late last night, UMNO President Zahid Hamidi had announced the immediate end of his party's support for the Perikatan National Government for its perceived failures to manage the pandemic. Now, this followed the Prime Minister's announcement that two UMNO cabinet members were to be promoted, one to the vacant position of Deputy Prime Minister. So the political developments have continued to unfold today. So tonight, we will be looking at the implications of these manoeuvres on the governance of the country. First on the show tonight is Bastian On. He's an exco member of UMNO Youth. Bastian, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. And I would like to share my perspective on the current issues here.
Yes, that's why we have you here on the show. Now, I'm wondering, following the announcement by Zahid Hamidi to withdraw support for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin after the Supreme Council meeting last night, we had UMNO members in the Perikatan National Government yet to comply with this. They've yet to resign from their positions. Now, I'm just wondering, would this move be considered in revolt against the party president's decision?
I kind of expected that this is going to happen because if you can see that the Supreme Council members is one group and the members of parliament is one group, and it's a bit hard to synchronize and agree on a certain decision. But if you look at the background of these two groups, all the members of parliament know that they have to be in the government in order for them to serve the people in their constituents better. But the political decision that lies with the Supreme Council meeting last night, of course, that decision based on a political stand. So you can see clearly that the direction of these two groups, that there will be a certain friction and this cost for them to decide on their own on both sides.
Bastian, if you put aside the conclusion of the statement, which is to pull out of Perikatan National, and just focus on the criticism, you talk about members of parliament and ministers obviously serving their constituents and serving the nation. But the criticism laid out by Zahid Hamidi and then some others today is very damning. It suggests that the government has failed utterly to control the pandemic and to act in the interest of the people. What is UMNO Youth's stand on this? Do they view the Perikatan government as a government that has failed?
Clearly, that this problem will arise because most of the Supreme Council members is not in the government. And the communication is very important here between these two groups. And I believe that the friction gets further as there's no communication between these two groups to reflect on what the party wants and what the people want and what the MPs' leadership in the government.
So I just want to be very clear, because for me, I feel like there's a few mixed messages coming out, and I'm not clear as to an outsider from UMNO watching what's happening within the party, that you said that the communication is not quite clear. I'm wondering, the UMNO members who are currently in the Perikatan National Government, if they do not resign from their post following the party's withdrawal of support, will they be sacked from the party?
Okay, I would like to come in back to the Sarah question again. If you can see, the party is led by Zahid Hamidi, and the cabinet led by a different person. So on this matter alone, that the decision making process in the government is following a different route, and by the party is following a different route. And again, we need to harmonize this. And whether or not the MPs that going against the party decision to be sacked from the party is a question of how far that the president would like to take this matter further.
Yeah, what is very interesting about yesterday's developments is it began with the announcement, some people were shocked by it, that two cabinet members were going to be elevated in their position. Now, I understand that Ashraf Wajid Dusuki has already come out to say that that decision was done without consulting UMNO. And do you think that the Muhyiddin government was in breach of whatever gentlemen's agreement they are between the political parties in the coalition and those that support the coalition from outside, as UMNO is, was there a breach of a protocol or trust in doing so?
This is a glaring example of what I said earlier. Again, the cabinet and the prime minister take ownership of his cabinet, and under his prerogative, he can decide whoever that be his cabinet in order to improve his delivery to the people. And of course, party again making a political stand, and they have to consider other things in pushing who is the right person to lead in the cabinet.
Okay, but can I just follow up on that and ask you, was there a perception that the promotions were done specifically to undercut Zahid Hamidi going into the Supreme Council meeting yesterday and precisely to drive a wedge between the party and its parliamentary side? This was, in fact, a political maneuver by Muhyiddin in order to thwart Zahid Hamidi.
It's a very good question. I think the timing again, you know, as the Prime Minister being a very seasoned politician, he knows that when to strike a decision, not to say that to undermine, but probably to bow to the demand of the party right before the Supreme Council meeting.
Bastian, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Appreciate your time. That was Bastian on Exco member for UMNO Youth. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on the implications of the political developments that have unfolded today. More on Consider This in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.esraawani.com atau aplikasi Esra Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing, face mask, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Kini berwajah baru.
Ini pula susulan nahas pesawat Back Air di Kazakhstan. Pesawat berkenaan dilaporkan tergelincir 2 kali.
Notifikasi berita terkini dan navigasi mudah. Podcast dikemas kini dengan berita dan program.
Rebirth, reformasi, resistance and hope.
Serta video tanpa had dengan scroll tanpa henti. Buat turun aplikasi baru Astro Awani sekarang.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat.
Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku di atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak.
Hanya fakta. Salah.
Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Lawyer Lim Wee-Jet joins us on the line now. Good evening, Wee-Jet. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, lots to discuss today, particularly in the wake of UMNO's withdrawal of support. We had the comments coming from Attorney General Tan Sri Idris Harun now saying that, well, actually, the Prime Minister and the current cabinet does not need to resign because there is no proof that Muhyiddin Yassin has lost the confidence of the majority of MPs. Walk us through how you understand the legal provisions to support this.
All right. From a very technical and legal point, the Prime Minister is a Prime Minister if he commands the confidence of the majority of MPs and not necessarily political parties out there, no matter how major they are. So the Attorney General is technically correct, but perhaps he should also consider to advise the Prime Minister to consider resigning in light of the fact that a major coalition partner has already pulled out of government. And that's probably something that he should consider also.
So are you saying that, I mean, this is a question of a convention, maybe of political culture, of moral suasion, rather than any kind of constitutional demand that he right. now proved that he still has a majority within parliament? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's a convention thing. Legally, he would only be obliged to step down if, for example, there's a motion of no confidence and it succeeds, or there's a motion of confidence tabled by him and it fails. Or, for example, even when the budget is voted down, conventionally, the Prime Minister would resign. A lot of these type of things operate on a convention basis and not through strict legal doctrines.
I see. Wee-Jet, there's been. Can you help me understand whether there are comparisons to be made with what happened with Tun Dr. Mahathir in February of 2020? Are there comparisons to me? Are there parallels? Is this the same scenario?
To some extent, I do see the similarities. Tun Mahathir resigned purportedly because, Bersatu pulled out of Pakatan Harapan then. I mean, that was his reason. And today, we see, UMNO, a major coalition partner in the Perikatan National Government, pulling his support from Tan Sri Muhyiddin. So, arguably, they are in the same position. And that is why I would think that Tan Sri Muhyiddin should consider to resign in light of this withdrawal of support.
Well, considering how much Malaysian politics is a winner-take-all scenario, I think that one might be a little skeptical as to whether he will, in fact, the Attorney General, acts as his lawyer, the government's lawyer, and so that position has been stated quite clearly. I do want to ask you, though, if this question of legitimacy that has dogged this government since its inception last year in March, can be resolved in any other way. For instance, if UMNO politicians and others go to the Port Palace and say that they can demonstrate that, in fact, they have the numbers. It's not simply that Muhyiddin has lost the majority, but they, in fact, have a majority of support.
Prime ministerial candidate, something that unfortunately
have we lost audio? Let's just checking it.
Able to prove.
Wee-Jet, I'm so sorry. I think the audio dropped. Could you just repeat again?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Could you just repeat again? Wee-Jet, apologies. The right. audio just dropped there for a bit.
Right.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Right. All right. Okay. I think one of the only ways which you can force Tan Sri Muhyiddin to resign is to offer an alternative prime minister candidate. And unfortunately, that is something that, all the parties out there are unable to do at the moment. That or a general election, which is impossible now considering of the COVID-19 cases. So really, very practically speaking, Tan Sri Muhyiddin will remain the prime minister until, you know, another alternative MP is able to command the convincing majority. And you have to convince the Agong to do that.
Right. Okay, I guess
just,
because
just to elaborate on that, who has the onus? Sorry, Sharad, just a quick follow up. Who has the onus in terms of showing they have the confidence of the majority of MPs? Will the onus fall on Muhyiddin Yassin to prove that he has a majority, or will it be on his challenger to prove that he does not? Wejie, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We're just going to.
Can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please proceed.
Right. The answer lies in how the prime minister, the next prime minister to replace Tan Sri Muhyiddin, is to be chosen. It is to go through the Yang Diputuan Agong through interviews or statutory declarations, then Tan Sri Muhyiddin can only be dislodged if there is an alternative candidate, because the Agong can only appoint the next prime minister. He cannot just ask Tan Sri Muhyiddin to resign just like that. If the method to select the next prime minister goes to the Dewan Rakyat, where it is put to a vote, then really, if there has to be a vote of no confidence, and if the vote of no confidence goes through, then Tan Sri Muhyiddin will have to resign, and thereafter, you know, a potential candidate to be prime minister can be put to vote in the floor, and if that succeeds, then the Agong will choose that particular candidate. So so I hope that answers your question. Sorry.
Yes, that does. Thank you, Wejie, for joining us on the show tonight. That was lawyer Lim Wejie. We're going to take another quick break, but more in just a few minutes. We're going to be speaking to Ibrahim Sufyan of Merdeka Centre after this, so stay tuned to Consider This.
Perbincangan berkaitan perjanjian penyelesaian komersial antara kerajaan
menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP Kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.esraawani.com atau aplikasi Esra Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19, social distancing, face mask, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Kini berwajah baru.
Ini pula susulan nahas pesawat Back Air di Kazakhstan. Pesawat berkenaan dilaporkan tergelincir dua kali.
Notifikasi berita terkini dan navigasi mudah. Podcast dikemas kini dengan berita dan program.
Rebirth. Reformasi, resistance and hope.
Serta video tanpa had dengan scroll tanpa henti. Buat turun aplikasi baru Astro Awani sekarang.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat. Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku ke atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak.
Hanya.
Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Has Zaid Hamidi's decision to withdraw UMNO support for the Perikatan National Government set in motion changes to Malaysia's political landscape? Let's ask the Executive Director of Merdeka Centre, Ibrahim Sufyan, or better known as Ben. Ben, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, how should we understand what's happened so far? We've got Zahid Hamidi's 1 a.m. announcement withdrawing support for Muhyiddin Yassin. And then today we have the Attorney General saying that the Prime Minister and current cabinet, well, they don't need to resign because, you know, unless they have, or they fail a show of support in Parliament. I'm wondering what this all means. How are you reading this? Does this mean that nothing technically has changed within the political dynamics at play?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. You know, I think in terms of the overall dynamics, I think, you know, it certainly does show that something big has happened, that the coalition in many ways has unraveled. So the wheels are literally coming off the cart. But, you know, as what we saw in the AG statement and also some of the constitutional experts have commented over the day, the majority issue, or rather the command over the parliamentarians by the Prime Minister, won't be tested unless there is a parliamentary session. So therefore, I think in the short term, it will probably be business as usual, unless UMNO, the party leadership, forces or imposes a rule on its members of parliament to withdraw from either the cabinet or any other post that they hold on behalf of the government. Then I think we will have some kind of a crisis. But as far as I think the Prime Minister's position is concerned, at this moment, things have not changed because his position or command over the majority of the parliamentarians won't be tested until we have a parliamentary session. So things can muddle along in this manner until a proper full parliament session be held, perhaps later in the year, you know, ostensibly to pass the budget or something like that.
So, you know, Ben, this muddling along maybe might not have been of any significance for most of us, unless, you know, but it seems to be tied to the management of the pandemic. So even in Zahid Hamidi's statement and the statements that have come out since, the critique or the rationale for withdrawal is a failure both to manage the pandemic and to respond to the needs of the people, the rhetoric that's used, right? The question is whether, you know, this muddling along will do anything for the improvement of governance that is implied in the suggestion of an interim leader, one dedicated in a short term to dealing with the pandemic and so on.
Yeah, the formula that's being proposed by the leadership of UMNO and as I suppose disclosed by Zahid Hamidi is something like having an interim leader who is going to take charge for a brief moment in time to handle the pandemic and then give the mandate back to the people in an election. So it could be a kind of, you know, an interim leadership that will take place, that will run the country for a year, maybe 18 months or something like that, until the curve is suppressed and then, you know, things are a bit better, the economy has recovered and people are less prone to be infected, then you can have full elections take place again. That's a thing one. But I think beneath all of this rhetoric, I think is the concern brought about by, I think, ordinary Malaysians that have raised concerns and also criticism towards the government over the many, many issues that has emerged. So we have social media campaigns centered around Kerajaan Gagal and things like that. I think for these politicians, I mean, they are also looking at their continuity and they're looking at the next elections, which, you know, is going to happen at some point very soon. And so for them, I think it's distancing themselves from an administration that they feel is failing the people, that's going to be unpopular. And so because of that, I think they want to find a reason to leave what seemed to be a liability position.
Yeah, I found that very curious that Zahid Hamidi would use that, would co-opt the Kerajaan Gagal comment in his speech at 1 a.m. last night, because I thought that, you know, for him to say that the current administration is failing when it was UMNO members who are in the administration managing this pandemic. So I thought that was quite curious. I'm just wondering very quickly, when you talk about an interim government, there were comments made by Jarigani, his statement saying that, you know, well, maybe an interim government without the usual emphasis on race, on identity, but rather one on expertise. And I'm wondering whether he's a lone voice calling for such an interim government.
No, that's not a lone voice. I think that's been talked about in senior leadership circles. Of course, those who are outside of government who have this idea that you could have a leader who is senior enough, respected across the political spectrum, can command over a small committee that's not 70-member cabinet, but perhaps a much smaller one that's just focused on tackling COVID and recovering the economy, populated by technocrats and experts and so on. So that's an idea that even Dr. Mahathir was talking about that, you know, when he had the audience with the king. So we have that idea, I think, percolating within the elites where we need to have a broad-based group of respected, eminent and expert personnel who can take charge of things and not leave it to the hands of politicians who may use the opportunity in order to garner support or also to reward themselves and their friends. So I think there is a concern about the pandemic. I think the concerns are genuine, but I think there's a lot of argument over how does one address this, because to have an interim leader means that you need the current incumbent to vacate the seat. How are you going to make that happen when you have due process that needs to take place? And that due process, I think at this point in time, revolves around a show of support within parliament or the king doing the musical chairs again to see how many people have got, which leader has got majority support among the parliamentarians.
Ben, do you think part of the problem is that at this point in time, UMNO is not a cohesive force, right? So you mentioned the question of being tainted. And I think Nojazlan came up to make this point, the former, I think, MP of Pulai. And he said, well, we don't want to be tainted by Perikatan's failures. But then you also have Khalid Nordin saying, well, you know, maybe the interim prime minister can be Sabri Ismail. I mean, Sabri Ismail has been the face of this of the Perikatan National's pandemic management. I mean, you take the position that the government has failed. Sabri Ismail is the very poster boy of failure. How can he then become the interim prime minister leading a bunch of technocrats into a glorious future?
Yeah, I think this is the contradictions that we are facing today. And I think it does indicate the fault lines within the party, the factions that have built up and I think polarized their positions within UMNO itself. And it's quite clearly that there are groups of the old guard, the leaders, you know, who came from the pre-2018 administration who are, I suppose, trying to maintain their influence and control over the trajectory of the party while at the same time fighting court cases. And then you have up-and-coming leaders who are trying to make a mark for themselves. And then you have the rest of them who are in the middle who are trying to see which side to support. At the same time, you know, the UMNO of today isn't the UMNO of pre-2018. The UMNO has fractured into many splinters. And what we've seen happen yesterday and also today, the statement by Ahmad Maslan that parliamentarians from UMNO will have the discretion on the voting during parliamentary session, all of that speaks of limitations and constraints on the present leadership of the party, that on one hand, they want to break away so that they can perhaps chart a new course, collapse the government, hasten the selection of a new leadership pending elections. At the same time, they also cannot risk further fracturing and splintering the party because, you know, elections will take place within the next 24 months, you know. So I think a lot of people are looking at that goal and wanting to preserve themselves.
Right. Ben, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Appreciate your time. That was Ibrahim Sufyan of Merdeka Center. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching.